Warning, content not suitable for children. Listener discretion advised, yo.
Screaming Chewy Show, your source of entertainment and overall fuckery. And the show starts now. This episode is brought to you by Dubby Energy. Tired? Craving an energy drink, but you don't want to feel shitty and jittery afterwards? Well, try Dubby. Dubby Energy has this Neurofactor. It's a patented all-natural coffee cherry extract to help fuel you. Yeah, this ingredient is what gives Dubby its laser-focused and fast reflex effects, making it perfect for gamers. So, whether it's just had a long night, you know, just need some energy to go to work, maybe a pre-workout, or you want to get some gaming done, Dubby is for you. I highly recommend this. And they got some amazing flavors as well. Very creative too, such as Dragonade, right? Dragonberry and Lemonade, Galaxy Grenade, Beach and Peach. Yes, delicious. It's basically Kool-Aid that gets you pumped. So what the hell are you waiting for? Check them out at Dubby.gg. That's Dubby.gg. Yeah, and guess what? And for 10% off at checkout, enter this coupon code, right? I got you. It's Screaming Chewy SH, all right? All together, caps. Screaming Chewy SH. And yeah, you got 10% off. Dubby, check them out. All right, welcome back to another exciting episode of Screaming Chewy Show. And I'd like to welcome back a very special guest, homegirl, fellow podcaster.
Yes.
Jess, host of Call Her Daddy Fan Club. What's happening, Jess?
What's up?
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's been forever, nigga.
It's been too long. It's been a little too much time between the last time we did it.
Well, you've been busy traveling.
I was traveling all of, like, majority of 2022 I was traveling. So... but I'm back home in Arizona now, and it feels to be good. But then guess what? I'm going to leave again.
Again? You're going to dip?
Yeah. But, I don't live. I won't live in Tucson in the summertime.
Oh, so you're a snowbird now?
Yeah, I'm a snowbird.
How are you like, younger than 50 in a snowbird? How is that?
It's actually pretty cool. I never thought that I would be doing this, but... I don't know. I think the last summer that I spent here, it was over COVID. And that's when I first started travel nursing. And it was, I made a shit ton of money, but it was like so freaking hot. And yeah, I can't handle the heat.
You got used to that New York weather, huh?
Well, in the summer in New York City, honestly, it's really hot and humid too. So I'm not going to go back to New York City for the summer. I'm going to exclusively stay in Alaska for the summer.
Oh, you go to Alaska?
Yeah, that's where I lived. I moved to Alaska last May, and then I stayed there till about August. And then I was like, okay, back to New York City to, I don't know, do nothing. This is pretty much what I fucking did. But yeah.
How's Alaska?
Alaska's pretty dope. It's really quiet. The nature's really beautiful the summertime. A lot of people are like, oh my God, Alaska. I'm like, it's not Mars, yo. So we're still on Earth. It's just a different part, and it's in the U.S. You know, it's the U.S. It's a U.S. state. Even though it's like we share waters with Russia and stuff. It's
what?
Oh, yeah. You can, like, you could probably not survive a swim to Russia, but you probably could if you, like, set your mind to it.
If you're determined.
If you're determined and you're okay with the freezing cold water, I don't even know if you physically survive, but you can take a little boat over there maybe. You know what? I don't want to say that because I don't know, like, their security over there.
Yeah, you get shot by the Russian
dude, probably, but, you know, you got to cast through, you got to pass through Canada to get to Alaska if you're driving, but if you fly, you just fly right over the West Coast.
Well, I'm sure their border's not like here. They probably don't care if you pass through. They're all friendly.
They are friendly, but you still have to have, like, a passport and, proof to get in. And in Canada, they're super friendly. And they're like, oh, what are you doing? I'm like, none of your fucking business. And they're like, okay, have a good day. You're
American. Yeah, no. Fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here. I'm from New York.
I'm walking here.
I'm walking here. They're like, this is the border between two different countries. Show your ID. No, it's, I didn't react like that. It was a very peaceful process to get through the country.
Nice.
So, super cool.
So they had you a bottle of maple syrup?
I'm kidding. They're like, welcome to the country. No, that'd be cool. But, no, I mean, I don't know Canada very well, but it's a very peaceful country. I mean, I cruised through, like, the west side of Canada, and it was just a bunch of cows and just cows everywhere. And
they Lots of cows?
Yeah, and just open land and farmers and stuff. There was not a lot of, like, anything there. Just
pretty boring.
Yeah, I mean, it's a simple life. I don't. It seems like it, and... you know, when you get to a four-way stop in Canada, everyone's, like, just inching to go. And they're like, oh, sorry about that, sorry about that, sorry about that.
Nobody wants to go first.
They don't want to be polite.
Wow.
I never experienced that. I saw it in a South Park episode.
Actually. Oh, shit, and I believed you? I'm like,
I'm like, that happened. You know, I tell a lot of stories, and I'm very honest and transparent about my life in general, but there's some stories that I make up, and people believe me that it's, like, a real-life situation. I'm like, that's not fucking real.
Yeah, I'm fucking with you.
I know. Yeah, just like that.
You know, I love how you're such a free spirit.
Thank you.
You know, you're not afraid to be yourself and do what you want, and you're open about it. I love that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I think everybody should be like that.
Yeah, it'd be nice if people had that free will. They do have that free will, but that freedom inside to, or feel free enough to, you know, express themselves and just explore outside of societal standards. That's, like, kind of my...
You're not afraid to be judged, you know?
I mean, because, like, I'm going to be judged regardless. Sometimes I do react and respond, or I react sometimes. I keep it inside, like, I get offended, but there's new spiritual practices that I have and that I, you know, take into consideration, and I just, not that I let things brush off my shoulder, but just accept, like, people not accepting.
That's true.
Yeah, and just accepting the world accepting the way I am, because, I mean, my life is kind of scandalous, you know, like, I am a registered nurse, and I do help and save a lot of people in Western medicine, but then I also do something else that is not really seen in the society as acceptable, which is stripping.
Yeah.
And
that's amazing, by the way.
Thank you. Well, I mean, it's just, I love pole dancing, and
you're
good
at it.
Thank you.
I still remember when Arlene's birthday party.
Oh my God, that's when I just started. I know, that's when I just started dancing, so I wasn't that good of a dancer then.
Well, you still had moves.
I had some stuff up my sleeve. I got a little more now.
So, like, for those listening, it was Arlene's birthday, and she had a party bus, and there's two stripper poles in there. Jess got on the pole, and she had some moves.
Oh, yeah.
And all the guys were staring. And the wives were mad.
I know. One of them came up to me and was like, excuse me, Arlene said to stop doing that because her boyfriend's looking at you. And I was like, girl, I was like, mind your business.
And then I'm like, that's bullshit. Arlene didn't say shit.
And I asked her, I was like, did you say that? She was like, girl, no, what the fuck? And she's like, let's dance on the pole. And I was like, fuck yes.
I know. Then Arlene starts dancing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's, you know, stripping or dancing. Like, I exclusively started dancing pole as an athlete, but then I've transitioned my practice to stripping for multiple reasons.
So it was a creative outlet.
Yes.
Now you make money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And plus, it's just a way for me to, you know, because I'm a new dancer. I don't have any training or choreograph or any kind of fitness background. And it's just a way for me to explore my body and how I can, like, freely express myself in front of other people. And what better way to do that in the nude, you know? If you can do something in the nude, you can do anything.
Listen, titties, they make people happy.
They do. And you know what? As a nurse, I maintain a lot of people's heartbeats. Like, my specialties are in ICU and ER and trauma stuff.
Oh.
And trauma is, like, the most through and through thing that I believe in Western medicine. And it's the best, but the majority of Western medicine is so unnatural, and it's just maintaining an issue that can be healed through, you know, lifestyle changes and naturopathic ways of living and, like, mindset changes. But as like an ICU nurse or in the ER, like I'm maintaining people who are really dead, but we're just maintaining their heart. We have medications and machines to maintain someone's heart beating.
Wow. So basically without that,
yeah, you'd be dead. Yeah. You know, it's like I help. There's been a lot of people that I have helped, but I haven't seen like the recovery process. It's beautiful seeing a trauma. I've only seen this mostly in traumas. Them surviving like gunshot wounds, stabbings, car accidents. People have such higher chance of survival rate or recovery and like, you know, quality of life after something like that than a chronic issue. Something that could have been managed before, like through diet change, exercise and blah, blah, blah. You know, the list prevented. The list of those things. And I've seen so many people come out of traumas. But Western medicine is exclusively managed. It's mostly managing chronic stuff and stripping. You know, it's like I feel like I'm helping a lot more people dancing.
You are, because think about it. In the ER, you're there for people in the worst times of their life.
Yes. But
people that go to a strip club, maybe they're going through a tough time and
yeah,
they need some titties, you know?
They need someone to, yeah. So it definitely is teaching me about my boundaries and also like what I tolerate and what I don't tolerate. If someone's like coming to the strip club and they're fucking negative, I'm like, why the fuck did you come here? This is like a fantasy world. This is a place for you to let go of your world, to let go of your problems. You know, you can take a break from your bullshit. You know, it's like you don't have to be so fucking negative. So I don't accept negativity. And you know what happens? That's part of life. It's, you know, you can't know what's good unless you know what's bad. So I'm still, you know, I'm still learning and feeling my way through specific things. And yeah, a lot of it is money driven. I wouldn't talk to like majority of these guys normally, but you know, it's in a different kind of setting and yeah, it involves money.
I bet you make bank, huh?
Yeah, in Alaska I do for sure. But I danced in New York for a little bit, but not very much. I didn't really have, I had a different experience in New York City and I just started dancing here in Tucson a couple weeks ago, about 2 weeks ago.
Damn.
So it's going okay. I think I just got to give it a little bit more time. And plus, like, they say I'm a baby stripper. So, you know, I'm still learning the ways. Like, I'm a good dancer and I'm a very charismatic person and I know how to woo people. I know how to, like, you know, seduce people. Yeah.
How are the girls there? Like, how's the environment working there?
The environment here in Tucson. There's a lot of women from Cuba. Yeah.
Do they do cocaine? I'm kidding.
Probably. I have no idea. I see a lot of girls go into like the bathroom stalls together.
Nice.
I'm like, I wonder what they're doing. Are they going down on each other? Like, what are they doing?
You peek under the stall?
I'm like, what are you fucking doing? No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't peek on them. Everyone has been super nice to me. I haven't encountered personally anyone in Tucson. I've only been dancing a couple weeks here, but I haven't encountered anyone that's caused like a negative experience for me. But there is like a couple girls that, you know, not all strippers are that stereotypical like drug addicts, crazy, like batshit crazy women. It's not like that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not like that. Not every dancer is. And there's like, I feel like I've met some of the most spiritual and healing people that are dancers. And yeah, I mean, there's this one girl. She's young. She's very beautiful, but she is ratchet. She has like a rough life. It sounds like she's always like fighting, and she's always been sweet with me because I think I have that energetic wall up that is not a wall, but an energetic boundary that is like, you know, we're going to respect each other. I respect you and you're going to respect me. And I don't have problems with anyone. So don't have problems with me. but she always has like fucking, see, she's always asked to come off stage because she'll like completely get fully nude. Like she tied like this clear little band around her waist and then it had a tail and that was covering like her butt and her cooch, her little coochie. And she like lifted it up and like spread her ass cheeks.
Nice.
And she showed like everyone her whole crotch. And you know, the club I work at, it's not a full nude. And she was like, she was drunk or she was on something and there was drinks on the not the bar, but the dancing area. It's
the stage.
Yeah, the stage. There was like all kinds of drinks, and I was on stage before her, and I did this really sexy walk on it. There's actually, what do they call it? It's like metal bars above for the light fixtures and wires. And I like held onto it. I held onto the light fixture metal, and I walked over everyone's drinks, and I didn't knock over anything. And it was like slow, seductive, and it was like sexy. And everyone was like, oh my God. And then I did like a couple pull-ups and like a couple, little inverts and like leg twists and stuff without, you know, breaking shit. I didn't break anything. Like, and then she comes, she came on stage and she like knocked over all of the drinks. There was like glass all over the stage, and she had like that little tail, and she like lifted it up, and her coochie and butt were out. And I was like, girl, you can't do that. They immediately kicked her off stage. And she had like, I was looking at her and I was like, is she okay? And I saw that she had like stitches on her forehead and like over her, like on the side of her eye. And I'm like, this poor girl. You know, it's like, I was thinking about such a long time of my life since I started using drugs when I was 12. And I think ever since then, I lived a life of feeling unhealthy and not feeling good. I didn't feel good about myself. My body did not feel good. I was tired. I was like overworked in terms of just anything I did. And I worked a lot, and still I'd party late and didn't get enough sleep and didn't eat healthy. And this is the first time in my life that I've felt completely healthy and well in myself. And it's because pole dancing changed my life for the better. Like, it's taught me how to maintain like fitness, how to eat well, how to sleep well. Not the pole. Like, I see it as a god, and the pole's like, do this, do that.
Nice.
I'm discipline. Like, I'm like, hail the pole. I'll bow down to the pole. I die by the pole. No, it's just, I've spent so much of my life going through, you know, having unhealthy habits. And I see this girl, and she's young. I don't know how old she is. She looks like she's 22 or something, and she's going through that. And like, I didn't have erratic behavior like her. But you know, we have different lives, different life experiences. And like, I just want to hug her and just ask her like, what's going on and why is she suffering so much? Like, or like, what is she suffering from? She may say that she's not suffering for anything, but girl, that girl is always fighting with someone or something.
She probably grew up around chaos. Probably. So it's normal for her.
Yeah. And I just, my heart goes out to her. And, but you know, not all strippers are like that, but, yeah, it could be catty. Like in Alaska, it was, I worked at the Great Alaskan Bush. Shout out to them. I'm going to go back to them next week.
Nice.
And I'm going to return to them over the summer. So if you're in Alaska, Anchorage, the capital, come and see me. My stage name is Maria. And yeah, I'll show you a pretty good time.
Nice. And she won't knock your drinks over.
Yeah, I won't.
I love that name, the Great Alaskan Bush.
Yeah. I first heard that, like, literally, I drove up to Alaska last year, and I was listening to this book, and it was called The Spiritual Entrepreneur, and, because I'm new to entrepreneurship, and I'd like to expand, you know, my financial profile to multiple things, you know, like, right now, I have, like, three sources of income. And I, you know, my goal is to be a multimillionaire, and multimillionaires have seven sources of income. So I'm like increasing, and nice. Stripping is one of them. So, but
putting in the work, you're doing it.
Yeah. But the book was telling me, you know, think about something that you do a lot and your hobbies. And I was like, well, I pole dance a lot. And they're like, well, see how you can convert it to making money. And I was like, I guess I gotta be a stripper now. And that, like, literally the day before I arrived to Alaska, I decided that. And I went there that day and I started dancing that night. So,
like, were you scared to do it first? Like, take off your clothes in front of people?
Yeah, I was nervous. The Gentleman's Club in Alaska is a full nude, but it's only full nude on stage. It's topless off stage. And it's crazy because it's a full bar.
In
the U.S., it's illegal to serve alcohol when it's full nude. Just like eating here, there's no alcohol, but it's full nude. But I don't think their lap dances are full nude. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I made a bunch of money there, and it's like really teaching me a lot about my relationship with finances and how I receive money and how I let money come into my life. And yeah, just making money.
Damn.
So I'm excited to return.
Damn.
Yeah.
And so like, okay, so how long did you think about stripping before you did it? Like, were you like, fuck it, I'm just gonna do it, and you just did it just like that? Or
it's just spontaneously decided. Just like that. Before, like, if you asked me a year ago, or if you told me a year ago that I was gonna be stripping, I'd be like, fuck no, I'm not. I've never fucking done that in my life. I've fucking never, because, you know, like, I've been pole dancing for 2 years. I hit my 2 year anniversary yesterday.
Nice.
And which is super awesome. But no, I would have never thought I would have ever stripped. I was like, that's so bad. It's like, that's a slutty thing, you know. But it's like, what, why do I have to put all, why would I put all these, you know, categories on something and classify it as one thing when it has a multitude of different meanings, and it has, you know, everyone has their own experience in it. And honestly, you know, it is seen a specific way for a specific reason as prostitution, because a lot of girls do that, and not just girls, but I mean, or women, but men do that as well. And that's the way some people make money, is through sex work. That's not my way to make money. I don't consider stripping as sex work. I don't do extras, which is, you know, doing sexual things. But I mean, I will dance, and I will show you my pussy for $50.
Nice.
Which you can't touch.
So for $50, do you just show it, or do you flick the bean, finger blast?
What did they get? This is situational. So I worked last Friday, and it was completely situational. Like, I walked in, and this guy and I made eye contact. I got called on stage. I danced, and we were like making eye contact the whole time. I got off stage, talked to a different customer, gave him a dance, and then went over, and I wanted to go talk to this guy, and I did. And we, you know, I talked to him probably for a minute, and I was like, what do you say about taking it to a different place? Let's see where this party goes, you know? And I was like, well, we can go to these private rooms back here, or nice. We can go to this semi-private room, which, you know, $30 a dance each song. I take off my top, and that's it. He got two dances, and this was like 20 minutes with me arriving to the club. He got two dances, $60. We went back, and I always say ground rules. Like, I'll have them sit down, I'll put my hands on their knees, and I say, I do all the touching. You cannot touch me. Nice. If you want to, you have to tip me an extra $100. But if not, I will fucking put you in a headlock.
Nice.
No, not. That sounded like, if you don't want to pay me, then I'll put you in a headlock. No, but if you touch me without paying me, you know, I know how to defend myself. I'm trained in jiu-jitsu. I have a white belt, so I can put it to use.
Yo, I can knock you out.
I can maybe do something. I don't know. No, I don't want to put, I always say that as a joke, but I'm, you know, I'm still learning how to defend myself. I'm a petite woman, so I do what I can. But no, I told him that, and he was like, of course. And I was like, of course what? What do you mean by of course what? And he's like, I want to touch you. And I was like, you got the cash. And he's like, I got you, baby. He gave me $100 bill. I was like, okay, let's move to this, see where this goes. So I started dancing for him, doing my tricks, because I give awesome lap dances, which is something that I found out in New York City. And just doing my thing. And I keep like hitting my hands on the table. Okay, sorry about the... Not sorry. And then I did like a straddle. I laid on my back and did a straddle. And I you know, open legs.
Nice.
White eagle or bolt, not bolt. What is it called?
Spread eagle.
Spread eagle. There you go. And then he was like, show it to me. And I was like, I knew he only had $40 left. And I was like, that's 40 bucks, baby.
Damn.
And he was like, he took it out of his pocket. And he's like, bam. And I just opened my underwear and I spread my lips. And he would just look, I was like, you can't touch. And then literally, it was probably 7 seconds of my life.
Nice.
Yeah.
The bar is open. Sit back, grab a cold one, and get ready for the news you didn't even know you needed.
From the frozen wasteland of western North Dakota, the tropical playground of Florida, it's time for tales of wonder and amazement.
Put the kids to bed and pour yourself a drink.
Lock the doors and close the blinds. Break out the cocaine and hookers.
It's time for Happy Hour News.
The Universe of Every Religion and None, written by Roderick Edwards, narrated by John Ashton Nickerson. Roderick Edwards is the author of books as varied as a fictional account of a person living in a deserted world to an autobiography about his adoption and reunion to this book about the universe. Find out more at RoderickE.com.
So you just spread them lips on?
And he was so sweet. And so that was about... 160. So 200 bucks. And that was literally like 6 minutes of my time.
Goddamn.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So, and I felt like it was a completely fair exchange because he respected my boundaries. He respected my form of payment, but you know, not just form of payment, but he respected, you know, what I asked and or what I told him. Mm-hmm. And he didn't touch me in my private parts. I do allow someone to touch my ass and thighs for 100 bucks. I'll let someone touch my boobs and my nipples if they're paying me like a grand. If they're paying me a grand, fucking spank me, slap me in the face, slap my tits. Like, you have that. I mean, I'll give you that right for that moment. And yeah, it was just a really nice experience, and it set my night off. And I think I only took home, I made 600, but I only took home 500 because of like the payout afterwards, which is all right. I like making 1,000 a day. Which is what, it's what I make as a nurse, but I work 12 hours as a nurse.
Oh, yeah.
I work like 12 to 15 hours. But as a dancer, I usually work 6 to 8 hours. And that night, I only worked like 4.5 hours and I took like 500 bucks. And I was like, that's right, 100 an hour, you know?
Yeah.
But like, as, you know, having dreams of, you know, expanding my finances and growing like more money, it's like, I want to make a fucking 1,000 within 5 hours, you know?
And you'll get there.
Yeah. The most I ever made in Alaska was within the span of 4 hours, and it was $2,600.
God damn. Yeah.
And it was this guy who had a lot of money, and I wish I got his information because he was kind of hinting sugar daddy to me because the club was really empty at that moment, and I was the first person to go on stage, and he was just talking to me and, you know, maintaining a lot of eye contact and like asking me. I was on stage and he was asking me like all kinds of questions. I was like, can you wait till I'm down, please?
I'm
kind of busy right now. No, but he you know, he paid for my time, obviously. And yeah, it was just it was an okay experience. He was like totally on drugs and drunk, but he just fucking loves strippers. Like, some people love strippers and they love the, you know, the energetic and actual physical exchange and the financial exchange of it.
Nice.
There's people in the world who fucking love it. And you know, some people hate on strippers, and it's like, it is what it is. But it, you know, it's like, you don't know the world. It's like, you can set your boundaries, you can set your time, you can set what you want. You know, there's always a chance of someone crossing your boundaries, but that can happen in the world regardless.
Yeah, anywhere. Yeah.
It can happen anywhere. And it's just I feel a little bit safer in the club, especially in Alaska. The security was very strict. And it was all open. There was no VIP. There was absolutely no touching allowed. If they saw any kind of touching, they would go up to you and the guy and be like, "You get the fuck down." They'd have like a gun. They're like, "Get the fuck down on the ground." No, I'm just
FBI
kidding.
Open.
FBI, spread your butt cheeks. No, I'm just kidding. They wouldn't do that, but they would just like talk to them. I got yelled at a couple times too because just for maintaining a hold way too long with someone.
Damn, really?
Yeah, because I was hugging a customer. He paid me, like, literally, I would always make so much money the last hour I was working, which sucked because it was like they would stay open till 4, and I'm like, damn, I want to make this money and go home a little bit earlier. But it honestly doesn't really matter because in Alaska, it's 22 hours of daylight.
Oh,
so it's just like 2 hours of darkness. And in terms of like circadian rhythm and waking up with the sun and going down with the sun is a little bit off there. So I think that I'm a little bit more comfortable to stay up late in Alaska.
That's but here, crazy.
Yeah, I base a lot of my life. I'm trying to base a lot of my life on the sun right now because it gives so much to us, you know?
Fuck yeah. I mean, people used to worship the sun, you know?
Mm-hmm. People still do.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Like strippers. I'm just kidding.
Worship the pole and yes. The sun.
Yes. Yes, those are my two worship.
It's like the holy things. Trinity. Money, the pole, and the sun.
Yes. I don't know if I got off track. Do you have, I mean, this is your podcast, so am I following, like, I mean, I don't know what your set was.
Hey, we're here to talk about whatever you want to talk
okay,
about.
Cool.
We're here to catch up, nigga. It's been like forever.
It has been too long. So you want to be on my podcast next week?
Yes.
Okay.
Fuck yes.
So I was actually thinking about doing a podcast on Friday, but the dance studio that I used to go to is having a closing party because they're moving locations.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So I don't know what time you were. I mean, we could talk about this afterwards, but mm-hmm. I'm going to have Chewy on my podcast, Call Her Daddy Fan Club. Definitely transitioning my podcast to more of a holistic one, I would say, because I'm just transitioning my life in general to more naturopathic and healing and more positive things. And Call Her Daddy is cool. I feel like that podcast really helped me expand on my belief systems in terms of sex. But there's a lot of toxic aspects about that podcast as well. Like, I'll still talk about the sexual aspects, but, you know, I talk about a lot of healing things more now, too.
I love how open about it you are.
Yeah.
Like, you know, sucking dick, give great advice, and eating ass. I heard your latest episode talking about eating ass and butt stuff.
Yeah, that's what that episode was based off of. And I think I was coming off of mushrooms, so it was a little bit hazy. I haven't even listened to it. I didn't even edit it. I literally just posted it afterwards.
See, that's so raw.
Unedited. Yeah, I don't know if I like farted on it or something.
No, but you did talk about farting.
Okay.
You're like, I love how you mentioned that. You're like, I don't fart in front of people. Well, I'm comfortable around my best friend Jasmine, and I probably fart in front of Chewy too.
I think I did.
Like, yes.
Yeah, you're like, I get the farts. No, seriously, and I think she's like she came over to my house the other day, and I like squatted and picked up something. And when I squatted, I like purposely farted really loud, and I was like, did you hear that?
That's best friends for
yeah, you. For sure. And she was like, you stupid bitch. She's like, how fucking dare you? And I was like, fuck you.
I bet she farts in front of you.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah, she I love Jess so much. We catch up every now and then. You know, she doesn't need that much activity or, you know, hanging out as I do. Like, I'm like, I want to hang out, like, every other day.
Yes.
Like, call me. You know, what are you doing? Let's hang, you know, get together. And she's like, no, girl, like, once a year. I'm like, that's not enough.
You guys are, like, me and Arlene, like, because I'm, like, Jazz. Like,
yeah.
Like, I love hanging out and going out and stuff.
But you like your alone time, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I like both.
Yeah.
I'm an introvert, extrovert.
Yeah.
But Arlene, like, she wants to hang out all the time.
You're like, girl.
And I'm like, bitch. Calm down, nigga. I love her, though. I love you, Arlene.
All right, yeah, I love Arlene, too. She's a really great spirit. I'm so happy for her and just how she's... I had no idea that she was a singer, and now she's, like, kind of famous. Yeah.
She just came out with her second song, by the way.
Cool.
We're going to play it next time I have her on.
Cool. She's performing at places?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so happy for her.
Yeah, she's performed like 4 times already.
Nice.
And she's got another one at the end of this month, another one next month.
Mm-hmm.
She's been busy.
Nice. That's dope. She's transitioning her life to a artist life.
Maybe you could convince her to be a stripper. I'm kidding.
I'm like, girl, you need money.
Show them titties.
You can practice your stage performance at the club. I'm just kidding. No, she's super cool. She's an amazing woman.
Yeah.
I'm so happy for her.
Yeah, she's going to blow up. She's going to be famous, watch.
And
you're
going to
be a famous stripper.
I'll be like, I'm her backup dancer.
Yo, for real?
That would be so cool.
Got them moves.
We like go on tour. We go throughout Mexico. And I'm like, no me toques.
Yo, you know what? Her next video, you're going to be in it.
Hell yeah.
Dancing.
I think that she asked me to be in like one of her performances or video, and like I would be so fucking down for that.
Yes, you should.
I need to get a stage pole so I can travel with it and perform. You know, use it as performances or whatever.
So like her latest song, she just released it, but she's gonna make a video soon.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to do it in Vegas.
Okay.
We might go for a weekend or something.
Okay.
But I mean, we'll film some part of it over there, some here, depends. Mm-hmm. But you should definitely be in it.
Yeah, I'm gonna text her. I'll text her and be like, "What up, girl? Where's this going?"
Sup, girl?
Yeah, she's an amazing woman.
you know, she's all right for a fat chick. I'm kidding. I call her fat. She's not fat.
She ain't fat. And even if she was, it doesn't matter.
I know. Facts.
Facts.
You know, fat girls give amazing head, by the way.
You're comparing. You have data to report this.
They suck dick like like they're not going to see tomorrow.
What's the difference between a skinny broad and a big broad doing that? Well, I know already said it, but it's like you have viable data to compare.
So I don't mean to categorize women, right?
Yeah.
But I just noticed a pattern, right? Like, let's say there's a female that she's really pretty. Mm-hmm. She's been pretty her whole life.
Yes.
Been spoiled her whole life. Mm-hmm. Everybody does what she says. They listen to her, right? She doesn't have to work as hard. Mm-hmm. Right? So when she's got a man, she don't have to suck dick. She'll be like, nah, I don't like doing that. And the guy's like,
he's getting his dick sucked from somewhere else then.
Probably, yeah. But you know, those girls are like, I don't like doing that.
I used to be like that.
Yeah?
Yeah. I used to be really afraid of penis.
You were afraid of it?
Yeah, I was.
But you know, it's not the act itself that's like important. But for me, is enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. That's the turn on right there.
They're like, let's see where this goes.
So when you're like, hey, you know, you want to do this? I don't like doing that. And it's like, kind of like, we still go through with it, right?
You're like, God damn it, this was so
I'm like,
unenjoyable, pleasurable, but unenjoyable.
Like, I'm excited, but I could be more excited. But you know, there's other girls. They're like, they'll suck your dick without you asking.
I know,
and that's amazing.
I'm one of those girls now. I used to be so afraid, but you know, it's like I've had life experiences that have brought me to that conclusion, or that brought me to that conclusion in that time in my life. And I wasn't comfortable with my sexuality, and I was afraid of, you know, men in general. And but now I'm not, you know. So
that's good. You're more comfortable with yourself as well, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And being open sexually.
Well, I'm straight, so I'm like, is that so? Make me
no. I mean, like, more enthusiastic. That's what I mean.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely open sexually with a partner. I'm practicing celibacy right now, though. I've been celibate for like a month now. Nice. The last time I had sex was like a month and a half ago, and it was with a partner that I had in New York City, and it was just energetically very harming, and like, I learned a lot about myself through that interaction and ways to be a better partner and how to accept and not accept, like, specific things. It's like some of these, like, hard things that I won't accept. I'm like, I'm not gonna, like, allow someone to be in my life that acts that way or treats me like this.
Good.
Or, you know,
boundaries.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, I'm an amazing woman. I'm not conceited, but it's like, I am. And it's like, I've grown myself. I didn't used to be this way. I've grown this way.
Because, you're a bad bitch.
Hell yeah, now I am. Yeah. Before, I was all right. I was cool. But, you know, it's like, I was lazy. I had no, like, I would just come home and watch Netflix. I wouldn't do anything. I, you know, had no life, really.
And now you don't stop.
And now I got a fucking full-ass life. And it's like, yeah.
Now you basically, you got two jobs.
Yeah.
Fucking traveling all the time. You don't stop, you know. And that's your, you know, that's not your classes in between all that and podcasting.
Yeah. And art repair and splits.
Nice.
Pretty much.
You know, I think you mentioned this before. I can't remember last time you were here, but you're saying how you're married for a long time and you weren't really yourself, you felt. Then after the divorce, you kind of started feeling yourself more and
broke out of a shell. I definitely, energetically and spiritually, I was unwell. And that I wish my ex the best. I hope that he's okay. I don't know anything about his life, and I wish him the best. But that relationship taught me just a lot of different things, and it was the best decision of my life to end it. And I'm free.
Yeah.
I was free before. I just didn't know. I didn't know how to be, you know. And I'm kind of hoping that one day he'll come to the strip club and unexpectedly see me dancing, and then just they'll just have to give me $1,000 for all.
You're like, you could have had this for all, free, but
for all the fucking bullshit he put me through. It's like, you owe me a couple grand, motherfucker.
That's some bad bitch shit right there, yo.
Yeah, no, he doesn't owe me any money, but it's just we both. I mean, I put him through a lot of negative experiences, but he put me through way worse stuff. And, like, yeah, that's all I'm going to say about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is what it is. And it energetically just, like, showed where I was at in my life, that period of my life at that time, which was very low.
Kept you down, right?
Yeah, and it was, like, on my end, low confidence, low, you know, just, like, a lot of fear. Just a lot of unhealthy thoughts that I had and belief systems that I had. And
I bet he fueled that, right?
What do you mean?
Like, a lot of men that are insecure, they keep the female insecure and low.
Yeah.
To control her, you know what
yes.
I mean?
Yes, yeah, which is something he would do. And I'm hoping that he... I'm just hoping that his life is improved and that he has improved.
I'm just kidding.
No. I wish him and his family the best. That's all I can say. But if I see him in person, you know, I would be peaceful, of course. You know, I wouldn't say shit. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they would say anything either. They'd probably say whispers, but...
So you're not that crazy toxic ex. You're like, wish you the best. Positive vibes.
Yeah, no, it's like I just would love to help humanity, all humanity.
Yeah, you have a big heart.
Thank you. And, you know, it's like everyone's human, and we're on this earth having this human experience, and there's people that do harmful things to other people or themselves or to animals, and it's because they are feeling bad inside and they are unconscious. They don't know what they're doing, and doesn't mean that they shouldn't have to pay for their, you know, crimes or whatever that they're doing to hurt other, that are hurting other people. It's just they are blind to the light. They're unconscious. And my goal is to in this physical world is to help people reach towards more physical health. And
don't mind that.
Who was that? No, just helping people reach towards more physical health through like their own lifestyle changes and just living a healthier life and feeling good, but also reaching towards like a higher level of consciousness to more healing and peace. And there's four books that I've read that really drastically changed my mind, that changed my heart, that changed my belief systems. And A New Earth is a book by Eckhart Tolle. That's like the latest book I read. And that really opened my eyes to multiple different things. Things that I already learned about from him. He's one of my spiritual teachers. But how this world would be when more people come to consciousness.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And I believe that we all reach consciousness, and it may not be in this physical world or this physical form, but we all reach it in death. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's a system of karma. It's like when you die, you know everything and you understand everything. You forgive, you accept. It's like everything is just simple and everything's just like an energetic flow. And when you're reborn into whatever. I don't know, or 'cause there is like a dogmatic system within Buddhism through karma. And they have like special like structures, like, oh, if you did this and you're going to be a frog or something in your next life. We're going to be a piece of coal. I don't know.
I hope I'm not a sloth when I come back.
That would be cool though.
No.
As a sloth, you're just chill. You're like,
did you know that most of them, sometimes they accidentally mistake their own limbs for a tree limb and they fall to their death?
I didn't know that. That's just the way they go sometimes. That's okay. Don't they live like 50 years? They're like, live so damn old. I'm like,
they don't fall.
There was a video that I saw, and it said the fastest a sloth will ever go in 50 years. And it was like on a speedboat, and it was just like sitting there, and it looked at the camera, and like turned its head and smiled at the camera. And he was like shaking his head. Like,
I love that. He's living life.
Yeah, he's like, oh, this fast speed runner. Oh my God. That sloth was just enjoying.
Let me drive the boat.
He's like, let me see where I can take this.
But you know, back to the spirituality.
Yes.
There's this book by Roderick Edwards. It's called The Universe of Every Religion and None.
Okay.
And
I think I've heard of that.
he's a homie. I've had him on the show a lot. Mm-hmm. And so
he's the author of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He wrote me as a main character in a book.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Watch. I'll send it to you for free on PDF.
I would love that.
But yeah, I'm the main character in there.
Damn.
And shout out Roderick. You're the best.
Hey.
And but so when I first met him, when I first had him on the show, we talked about that book. Mm-hmm. And he like gave it to me for free and I read it. So most of my life, like, so my mom, my parents were Catholic. Mm-hmm. They tried to raise me like that, but it didn't work. Like, I always had too many questions and they couldn't answer. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd be like, so if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you go to hell automatically, right? And I'd be like, Mom, how come the people in Africa or China that are born a different culture and never heard of Jesus Christ, are they going to hell? Mm-hmm. You know, and they're like, oh, I don't know, mijo. You don't ask questions. And I'm like, no, I'm going to ask.
That's the Catholic way.
Yeah, right? Like, no, mijo, don't ask. Just believe.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. Like, you know? So, and they always got mad at me as a teenager because I would ask questions. And they're like, dude, like, don't ask questions. Just believe. And I'm like, no, I'm not accepting that. So I never really accepted religion. I do like some parts of, you know, religions. But there's many parts I don't like about it. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know, like, growing up, I never really believed in God. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, I had heart failure, almost died. Mm-hmm. And, like, my mom prayed, and that shit, like, saved me, like, because the CO2 in my blood was, like, 93%.
Yeah.
And they're like, we need to put you in life support. Mm-hmm. So they checked my blood one more time. And they're like, no, you're good. After my mom prayed, they're like, you're good. You're not going on life support. So I'm like, okay. I'm like, I got you.
I got you.
I'm like, I see that. That's a sign. Yeah. So I believe in God, but not in religion. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's kind of hard to explain sometimes. But when I read this book, I'm like, it feels like he wrote how I feel. Like, mm-hmm. It's crazy.
That's beautiful.
And he talks about, because Roderick, you know, he was in the Catholic Church for many, many years. Mm-hmm. Like, 30 years. But then he's like, this is not for me. Like, I'm not getting all the answers. And he read the Quran. He studied many different religions and and he feels the same way I do, right? Which is crazy because he's in his 50s, you know, and I'm 30, and we both had different paths in our lives, different experiences, but we came to the same conclusion. Mm-hmm. So when I read his book, I'm like, this motherfucker gets me. Like, this is crazy.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
But I highly recommend that book.
I will check. I'll take a look at that for sure. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that experience.
Yeah. I just think you'd love it.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll have to shoot me a text with it or something.
Yeah.
With the name. I read so many goddamn books. But yeah, I wish I could spend more time reading and just discovering more things and just finding more, because, you know, my way of learning is through books and the internet. And without those two, like without the internet especially, I don't think I would have expanded as far as I have.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, it's been such a beautiful journey, and I love that I've left the Catholic Church, and, because I did grow up Catholic, but fully baptized or whatever, and, yeah, it's just, Jesus is still one of my big teachers, for sure, but he wasn't about religion, he wasn't about starting Christianity. He was about healing, spreading peace, and teaching the message of enlightenment, which is what I'm pretty much studying and trying to understand and reaching more towards that. And, it's just...
I love that you know that.
Yeah. Like, when you see the light in terms of, you know, you can go outside and you can look at the sun, or you could turn on a light in your house and you'll see a light. But when you feel that light of connectedness with all of humanity, with all creatures... with yourself, when you feel that wholeness within yourself, like I used to feel so unworthy. I used to feel like my life was not even worth living because of my skin color, because of that I was skinny, because of this, my hair was this, like a lot of superficial things that don't fucking matter. Like there's nothing wrong with me. Like I grew up differently and around people that looked differently from me. And I was like wondering, why am I ugly? I don't look like them. So I'm apparently ugly and I'm not worth to live. So
compared yourself to them.
Yeah. And it's, you know, this world is filled with beautiful people, and like, I'm a cutie, you know, and there's nothing wrong with me. And I
gorgeous, friend.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I used to think that because of physical things that I wasn't worthy of existing, but it's so much more than the physicality of it. You know, it's like so good to have physical health, having physical health and feeling good inside and having good internal organ functions is like prime. It's like the best. Yep. But you know, when you can get those things in check and then you can move up to like moving your mind to a higher level of consciousness. Like there's monks who out of protest killed themselves, like committed suicide. I don't know exactly what the situation was, but I think it was in some remote part of China, but there was a monk that lit himself on fire in a meditation pose, and he stayed in that meditation pose until he died without freaking out and screaming, without suffering.
He didn't even flinch.
Yeah, because he was in such a deep state of consciousness that took him out of this world to, he didn't even feel like his body burning, which is crazy.
I think that was in protest for Vietnam.
Could have been.
But yeah, I seen that.
Yeah.
He literally sat there and posed, like meditation pose. Yeah,
and just he until he died. He died in that position. He was like not frozen, but he was charred, and you know his body was stiff, so he just like fell back, and he was like fully charred and black and to ashes pretty much. And it was so beautiful because he was doing it out of protest to help so many other people. I don't know how many people it helped. I'm sure it did cause a change of some kind. But that's just showing that it. The physical stuff is all superficial.
Yes.
And it's like really from within to get true riches and true good feelings.
Yeah, that's facts. Because, I mean, people don't understand that they have that power within them too.
Yeah.
That monk had. Just that they don't have the discipline he had.
Oh, yeah. I don't have the fucking discipline. I'm on fucking fire. I'm screaming. I'm going to water somewhere.
Dude, I'd be like, I regret this.
I fucking regret. No, I'm not doing it. No. I love my life, and I would love to continue it. And this time, when I was in New York this past year, I've been on a spiritual journey for, like, a year and a half now. And, yeah, I don't know. There's been a lot of times where I've come to the conclusion that I wanted to die and that I wanted to kill myself.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, and it's, like, pretty recent, like, within the last 7 or 8 months that I felt that. I feel like New York City really helped me expand spiritually because it's in such a small space with so many people, and so many people have been through so much trauma that it just pulls it out of you, like the trauma that you have inside yourself.
Yeah.
And it was just a crazy experience. And it was because I wasn't getting laid and I was having such a hard time energetically why I can't get men. And it's like, well, obviously there's a disconnect with me and myself, my inner being and myself, like, still trying to figure out that energetic thing that is within me, but I'm having way more acceptance of being single and just, how do I say? I forgot what I was going to say, but I think it's just accepting being single, which can be difficult at times. Like I have everything in my life that I could ever want. And it kind of made me question, like when I started making money as a travel nurse, I'm like, I have all of these things, all this money. Why doesn't anyone like me? And why can't I find a man that wants to stay with me? And it's like, because there's stuff going on inside me that's energetically not allowing good things and good people to come into my life.
Yeah.
And I'm totally changing that. My life is so different now.
It's, you know, the universe will give you certain things, but you know, it'll give you toxic people. Yes. But if you keep accepting them, that's just what's going to keep giving you, right? But you got to set your boundaries, learn about yourself and say no. And then it'll give you better people, right? But you got to tell the universe what you want, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's part of growth, you know? Mm-hmm. And then like how you were talking about traumas, like, you know, everybody has some sort of trauma. Everybody goes through something. Some people go through, you know, different stuff. But I think there's certain traumas that people have and they're not aware of it.
Yeah.
And like it'll trigger certain behaviors, you know?
Yeah.
And I think the more you know, the better, you know, because people have, you know, I know it's like females, they have certain traumas, they self-sabotage, mm-hmm. right? So, because they're used to, like, people leaving their life. They're used mm-hmm. to people treating them like shit or getting hurt.
Yeah.
So when life's going too good, when you're treating them too nice or too good, they're like, all right, this guy's going to hurt me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to leave him before he leaves me. Or,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Or, you know, there's other type of, or how you were saying about being single.
Yeah.
There's also some people that, like, can't stay single. Like, they need somebody. Mm-hmm. I think that's unhealthy. I think it's good to be single, you know, sometime, because you learn about yourself.
Mm-hmm,
and
sure.
you learn to love yourself and be alone. Like, you don't need somebody. You don't need somebody's approval, or, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that's good, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I totally hear that.
Dogs are playing around.
Well, I have a dentist appointment at 1.
Oh shit. Fuck, my bad.
I think we're at the 1 hour mark. I would love to continue this conversation. I would love to have you on my podcast, and I would love to return your podcast.
Definitely. Maybe
we can talk a little bit more deeper about spirituality.
I love that. I could talk about spirituality yeah. all day.
Me too. Yeah, it's something that I could it's just something I'm so passionate to talk about, and just bringing more peace to this world. And you know, I've learned that words don't teach, life experience really teaches. But I feel like the energetic exchange that happens with certain words and the intentions behind them will allow a type of healing from other people. Like, my nursing practice has completely transitioned. Like, last year I barely worked, and that's when I started stripping. And I worked as a stripper, and then I didn't work as a nurse for like 8 or 9 months. And then as soon as I returned to work as a nurse, like, my nursing practice was so much better. Like, I was way nicer. I had way more patients, way more just healing and just compassionate words, like bringing people to ultimate compassion and peace within themselves.
I love that.
Even if it's just for a moment, like, they're in a very difficult time of their life, it still was just so powerful. And I would love to continue to do that. And I'm going to transition my nursing practice to, like, more of a holistic one. And just moving higher and just towards more peace within this world.
I love that, because you're meeting people at the worst time of their life. Mm-hmm. So that compassion, that passion you have yeah. for your work, that's amazing. I wish every medical practitioner had that.
You know, I know, right? A lot of medical people don't, but it's okay.
Yeah.
But I'm going to heal the world one lap dance at a time, too.
Love it. Love it, Jess. And where can people find your podcast, find your stuff?
Spotify. I have mine on Anchor. I'm not sure how to get it on Apple Podcasts. Oh,
I can show you. Anchor does it by itself, but if it hasn't, I can show you how to do that.
Okay, cool. Yeah, but it's on Anchor. It's on 4 other websites. There's 4 different things, but it's mostly Spotify. I know a lot of people are on Spotify.
Sweet.
So, yeah, or check it up on Anchor. And I'm not sure, because it says I have 11,000. Like, I don't know if it's, like, followers or listens.
Oh, listens.
Okay. So I don't know how many people follow me. And, like, I have an Instagram, but I'm not very active, and I should probably be more involved.
If you update the app, it'll tell you how many Spotify followers you have.
Okay.
But just Spotify, because they're owned by Spotify.
Yeah, okay.
But, yeah, Call Her Daddy Fan Club.
Yeah, and I'm, okay, that was a little weird, but.
No, like, it wasn't. Yeah. No, it wasn't. I do that all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, okay. Well, thank you for coming on. Peace.
Thanks, bye. That was beautiful.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. And if you'd like to support this podcast, check out anchor.fm/screamingchewy
@gmail.com. Any contribution is greatly appreciated, and that makes you my producer. If not, that's cool. I'm just happy you're tuning in. And hey, Screaming Chewy Show merch. Yeah, that's right. At teespring.com. Just Google Teespring, T-E-E Spring, Screaming Chewy Show. Just Google that. It'll take you right there. And yeah, you could buy hoodies, t-shirts, socks, masks. You know, if there's any stuff you'd like to see on there or purchase, just let me know and I'll add it on. And yeah, you'll be rocking, styling. Social media, don't forget to follow me on there. On Facebook, Screaming Chewy Show. I like to share memes, just make up stupid shit. Share my episodes on there and just whatever. Check out my YouTube for video versions of my podcast episodes. Also, in between episodes, I like to add me streaming. Yeah, watch me get scared playing a creepy game or die playing PUBG or some shit, you know what I mean? And yeah, just check out my YouTube and Twitter. It's at Screaming Chewy. Yeah, not Screaming Chewy Show. I should change it to that. But for now, it's just Screaming Chewy. And thanks again for tuning in. See you next week. Peace.